Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And so we need to understand how God views the nations, and in particularly, how he views those who he put in pleasant places, lovely lands, filled with all kinds of wonderful things and resources. A land whose stones could be turned into iron and copper and gold and silver and precious stones. Had abundance of land, abundance of food, abundance of water, wonderful climate, all the blessings that God gave because he's creator and he's life-giver. And he loves to do things for people, but he has a condition for it. Now, a lot of people say God's love is unconditional. However, that is not true. God's love is eternal. But God's love is conditional. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a condition. And how do we express our love back to God? By obeying his voice. Well, you will say, well, how can I hear the voice of God? All you have to do is just read the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. These are the recorded words of God. You read in the law, the first five books, that God said to Moses, Moses, say this, and he said it. You look at all of the prophets and you see the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, all of the prophets. These are the words of God. You come to the New Testament and you have the words of Jesus Christ. You have the inspired words of the apostles, and you have the prophecies of the book of Revelation. But the question is, how many people read their Bibles? Let's take it one step further. How many people believe their Bibles? And let's take it another step further. How many people study their Bibles to find out what God has said? And let's take it one step further. How many people believe God and obey God? Now you see, once you stack up all of those questions, then you see that the world in general and our nation in particular and those sister nations that are akin to us have all done the same thing. Now let's read of it here in Jeremiah the second chapter. Because God has given us every blessing that we need. Put us in a great and marvelous country. But let's see what happens when people forget their God. Jeremiah 2 and verse 7. I brought you into a plentiful country to eat its fruits and its goodness. But when you entered it, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. Well, how did we do that? Let's read it. Verse 8. The priest did not say, so here are the religious leaders. Yes, when we first landed at Plymouth Rock, they got off the Mayflower and they thanked God for saving them. Thank God for the land. And they even started what later became known as thanksgiving to God who brought them to the land. What has happened to that today? It's not even taught in the schools. The priest did not say, where's the Lord? Could have found him right in the Bible and through God's Spirit, because God will be with those who love him and obey him. And they who handled the law did not know me. No, they said, oh, Jesus did away with the law, and we have a wonderful grace so that we don't have to be concerned about keeping a law. Well, we're going to see there is mass murder on such a vast scale right here in America, that even though there are some people trying to stop it, God's hand of a judgment is upon us. The rulers also rebelled against me. Oh, yes, show me what level of government that there is truth, honesty, decency, and sound-mindedness at any level, from the city council clear to the presidency and the Congress. Now, there are a few, but they are all outnumbered. Continuing now, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Isn't that the way it is with most religion, most people? Look at everything that is wasted and spent on pleasure. And mark my words, those are going to be taken away, because those are the idols of the people. What is your favorite team? Huh? How many sports do you follow? Huh? When did you remember the law of God? When did you say Saturday afternoon, when you're watching all of these college sports, or when you were out at the college game, or at the high school game on Friday night, when did you sit there and think, where's God? What day is this really? When did you think, hey, I better go home and repent for breaking the Sabbath day? I better go home and repent for chasing after pleasures, which are my idols. Think about it. We've been here, what, since this is founded as a nation? Since the first settlers came, yes, right close to 400 years, not quite. But as a nation, well over 200 years, 230-some-odd years. And I just want to remind you of a very little-known fact, that the original 10 tribes of Israel, after they separated from Jerusalem and established their own country in Samaria with their own king, they had not one righteous king. And after 230-some-odd years, they went into captivity because they had rejected God. And here, the book of Jeremiah records some of the warnings, God's word, his voice, his plea with the children of Israel to cease their sins. But you know something? They were doing almost identical to what we do today. So let's read it. God's word is a living word. All of these things, as Paul wrote, are examples or types for us that we don't do the same things. So God says here in verse 9, therefore I will contend with you, says the Lord, against your children's children. I will contend. And he does it in every generation. All of those who say, we believe in God and we believe in Jesus and love the Lord. We have the Bible. We even have it in our own hands here, see? So God says here, verse 11, has a nation changed their gods who are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Think about the mammoth problems that we have and how nobody seems to be able to solve them. Why? And God is going to judge the nations. God is judging us right now. What are we going to do as a nation? Well, look what we just did with the election here in 2012. Now, you think for yourself what is going to happen. Verse 12, Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be utterly desolated, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. Now God is judging us on this, and these two main evils lead to many others. Here's what they've done. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You forsake God? Now you look at all of these so-called Christian religions, and all of these preachers, and all of these merchandising, and all of the priests, and all of the statues, and all of the masses, and all of the things that they do. And you think this is from God, but it's not. Never has been. Number two, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now what does that mean? That means that every one of us, all the churches, all the religions, all the leaders, everyone we talked about here has their own way, has their own plan, has their own agenda. Yes, and they do just like Isaiah said, they steal my words and cast my law behind their backs. And out of the pulpit spew nothing but lies and fairy tales and misconceptions. Verse 19. Here's what God does. Do not accuse God of evil, though he brings evil. But why does he do it? Because of the evil that people do. Now notice verse 19. Your own evil shall correct. Because all the laws and commandments of God have not been abolished, but they are there judging you every minute of every day, judging every thought you think, every action you take, every day. Your backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore know and see that it is an evil, bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. What does God see when he looks down here? Now remember that God says your own evil is going to come upon you. So let's come over here to Jeremiah 5. Notice how just God is. God will honor when there is so much evil, God will honor that there is one man trying to do good. Now, let me just say this concerning the election in the United States here in 2012. Now, there are a lot of people who said Republican nominee Mitt Romney, why, he's a Mormon. Why, he's old-fashioned. And a lot of the evangelicals said, we won't vote for him because he's a Mormon. All right. Then who was put in office? How much understanding does he have? Oh, he bribes everyone with goodies to give them. But will he stand for the truth? Now, Mitt Romney, on the other hand, they tried to find dirt against him so they could come against him and say what an evil, hypocritical man that he was. The only thing they could find was, one time in a divorce case with someone with Bain Capital, he was called to testify about the value of the stock of Bain Capital. And he wasn't involved in anything. Furthermore, being a Mormon, he does not drink coffee and he does not drink any alcohol. And he never has. He has some sound principles concerning helping and serving people. Oh, but he's a mean, nasty man, you know. And put out ads that, you know, he caused my wife to die of cancer because he closed down a factory, and that whole thing was a lie. But people believed it because people want to believe their lies. But you see, I'm going to tell you right now, America, you wasted a good opportunity, and heaped upon a man who in the letter of the law was the most righteous candidate for president that we have had in 100 years. And America, you turned him down. Now let's read Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. Run to and fro, he says to Jeremiah, through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in her open places, if you can find a man, one man. God says, one man. He doesn't say many men. He says, one man. Things are so bad that God would look to one man, even if he didn't keep all the commandments of God, but one man who was righteous, who was kind, who would be helpful, who has helped his neighbor, who helps the poor. One man. If there is one who does justice, they couldn't find anything wrong of injustice of any kind against Mitt Romney. Who seeks the truth. And in financial things, he was seeking the truth. And in loving your neighbor as yourself, he was doing the truth. But what did God say? I will pardon her. That is, God would pardon all of Jerusalem and hold off the hand of his correction because there was one man. See, we have been witnessing the judgment of God upon this nation through all this time of the election and the choices of the people, their lust, their sins, their rottenness, and the ones who wanted to be so self-righteous that they wouldn't vote for him because he did not belong to their church. Yet he did what was right more than most of you hypocritical, self-righteous people out there who think that your evangelical religion is better than his. But how do you stack up according to the laws of God? Can you even in the letter of the law match the behavior of Mitt Romney? Now, this is not an endorsement of Mormonism. This is just to show that there are some people out there, and God says, if there is one man, and there was, and he was rejected. Now look who we have. Think what's going to be like in 4 more years. The prophecies that God has said that's going to happen to us are going to come upon us, and we will not know how to recover from it. So let's go on, see what God said. And though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have destroyed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. No, they don't. And because I speak the truth to you, there are some who would say, I got an email from a man who said, well, you shouldn't have slammed the president in one of your recent letters. Well, I'm just saying what God said. Verse 5, for I will go up for myself to the great men and will speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these had altogether broken the yoke and torn off the bonds and have endorsed some of the most heinous abominations and have made them the law of the land that God's judgment must come. Here's the reason right here, verse 7. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and gathered themselves by troops in a harlot's house. Have we been fed to the full? When was the last time you were really hungry? When was the last time you lacked anything? Ask those who suffered from Sandy. Ask those who suffer from tornadoes. God's judgment is there to correct. Will you return to God? Will you repent of your sins? Will this nation wake up? No, they turned down a clear choice that God had set forth. That isn't endorsing his religion. It's looking at his character, and his character was sterling. Verse 8, they were like lusty, well-fed stallions in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? It's coming. Yes, it is. Verse 11, the house of Israel, modern 10 tribes today, and the house of Judah, look what's happening around Jerusalem today. Look at the war, look at the fighting, look at the hatred, look at the absolute incalcitrance and adamant and hatred that these people have against the Jews. Yet how many in Jerusalem are turning to the Lord? Yet how many in Jerusalem are crying out to God? Yet how many in Jerusalem want to be there to continue in the way that they have? Just like in the UK and the Western democracies of Europe and in the United States and in Canada and Australia and New Zealand, your time is now at hand. It is coming. Verse 12, they have lied against the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come on us, nor shall we see sword or famine, and a prophet shall become as wind, for their word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth, Jeremiah, fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. So these are not pleasant words, but these are needful words. We don't live in pleasant times, but we need to understand what we need to do. We need to find out where God is. How about you? How's your life? You need to see what God says and how you need to repent. God will be there. God will help you. God loves you, but you must love him back, because God's correction is also his love, because you have gone astray. Now, you can't earn salvation. That's the grace of God. But you cannot take the grace of God and turn it into licentiousness and to do anything you want. Jesus said, remember, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Do you even know what they are? Now you need our book, Lord, What Should I Do? And you need our book on baptism so that you understand about repentance and baptism. Now is the time that you need to get your life right with God. And the only place you can really begin is in your home, because the churches won't help you. They will want to bring you in and herd you along. This is why church at home, that's the place to start. So what will you do? So once again, this is Fred Coulter saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and see our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of sermons and in-depth Bible studies for you to learn more about the Word of God. So until next time, so long, everyone.